Bad spirit characteristic number one. You are a scorekeeper. A healthy relationship is clearly a partnership. Partners cooperate, they support one another, and they depend on one another. They do not compete. Some competitive hardheads may be thinking, competition? I'm possessed by a bad spirit if I feel competitive? Yeah, right. When it comes to your relationship, however, that's exactly right. Please understand, I think there's nothing better than a great banter between a man and a woman. I love watching a couple playing their games of verbal volleyball, teasing one another, swapping funny stories, joking about the other's eccentricities. There's a great spark to their relationship, a feistiness that makes it fun. That's not competition. That's love with a sense of humor and with abundant spirit. But competition, real competition between partners, can quickly turn a relationship into a battle of one-upmanship that can turn ugly. Competitiveness means scorekeeping. And if you allow your life with your partner to be guided by a tit-for-tat trading of favors and duties, and I'll do for you if you'll do for me scorekeeping, you are in danger of turning what should be a mutually cooperative and supportive relationship into a fight for leverage and the upper hand. Solid relationships are built on sacrifice and caring, not power and control. Think about what we're talking about here. Competition, by its very nature, means that you have an adversary, an enemy. How can you possibly be a winner if it's at the expense of making the person you supposedly love a loser? How can you possibly expect to enjoy harmony in a relationship where one or both of you are fighting for leverage, power, and control? Solid relationships are built on sacrifice and caring, not power and control. The joy of giving is completely lost when a husband picks out a beautiful dress and gives it to his wife, not as an act of kindness, but just to build up brownie points so that she is in his debt and under his thumb. Or a wife who stays home babysitting the kids so her husband can go fishing with his buddies, not because she wants to give him a relaxing gift, but because she wants him to owe her big time. This is not a couple that is attempting to be mutually supportive. These are two people who are each trying to get the upper hand in order to control their partner. Of course, it never occurs to either partner that with genuine caring and giving, their mate would probably volunteer more than could ever be demanded of them. Here are some telltale warning signs that you can use to determine whether or not competition has replaced cooperation in your relationship. You tend to keep score of things your partner does, such as leisure time, outings with friends, hours with children, and chores completed. You make sure your partner never gets the upper hand and never gets by with a freebie. You bank points, which are held over your partner's head for leverage. You make concessions in a negotiating fashion rather than offering them as a gift of support. You seldom, if ever, do something in support of your partner without making sure that he or she knows it, including a detailed explanation of the great imposition it created for you. In any type of dispute or confrontation with your partner, you actively seek outside allies in the form of family and friends in an effort to shift the balance of power. And lastly, you insist on having the last word or the final act of defiance. You and your partner are a team. You're supposed to be mutually supportive. The spirit of competitiveness, however, assures that there is a negativity in the air that can drain the joy, confidence, and productivity from any situation. Bad spirit characteristic number two. You're a fault finder. There is nothing wrong with legitimate criticism or input in a relationship. There is nothing wrong when one party complains about the attitudes or actions of another. if that complaint is designed to improve the relationship. But constructive criticism too often gives way to constant fault-finding, in which you obsess over the flaws and imperfections rather than finding value in your partner. You're almost always telling your partner, in one form or another, what he or she should be doing. You get used to making criticisms, and once you start, it's hard to stop. In fact, no matter what your partner does or how hard he or she tries, it's not enough or it's never as correct as you wish it to be. If your partner had 10 things to do and did 8 of them to perfection, you would spend 90% of your time talking about the 2 things that did not get done. Even if you think I'm not describing you, take a brutally honest look at yourself here. This is an attitude that can sneak up and quickly overtake you. Think back on the last time you said something critical to your partner and the last time you said something positive to him or her. Which statement did you make with the most passion and intensity? Here are some telltale warning signs that you can use to determine whether or not critical perfectionism and a bad case of the shoulds dominate your relationship style. First, you seldom, if ever, let an infraction by your partner slide by, regardless of how trivial. You find yourself saying such things to your partner as, "You should have known better. You should have helped me out when I was stressed. You should have done what I wanted without me having had to ask you." You tend to say always and never when criticizing your partner. "You never help me out in the kitchen. You always ignore me." The terms always and never are judgmental and argumentative. They also should be embarrassing to the one using them because such absolute statements are typically unsupportable. You counterattack with criticism whenever you're being criticized yourself. Your partner, for instance, tells you that you forgot to take out the garbage. Instead of hearing the message, your competitive attitude and critical spirit kicks in, and you counterattack. "I can't believe you have the nerve to say that. You never do what you're supposed to do. I'm 50 times more reliable than you are. You don't even lock the door at night." Or lastly, you are obsessively interested in getting your partner to admit wrongdoing rather than listening to what your partner has to say. If you are controlled by this bad spirit and think your critical perfectionism is making your partner a better person, think again. What you are doing is nothing more than making your partner more confused, more anxious, and perhaps more resistant to your legitimate criticisms. And even more important than the criticism you are creating, you are driving your partner away. Get off your partner's back, and you may see your partner moving toward rather than away from you. You will also start realizing that you have a lot of work to do on yourself, and no amount of criticism of someone else is going to improve you.